Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday morning, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we welcome listeners from all over the world, internationally, to student to teacher to student radio show on the internet. We welcome you to call in to 1, make sure you put that 1 in for toll-free number, 646-727-3758. And we welcome our international callers. Make sure you use the international codes given to you by your, if you're lost on that, call your operator for assistance and use the international code and call into us. We'd love to hear from you. We really appreciate all of our listeners from all over the world. We have a great listening audience from Graceland Orphanage in India waits for our show on Saturday morning and listens, loyal listeners. And we appreciate you and appreciate all the things that you are doing there in India with young people that are seeking to go to school and to better their lives. We have some callers online this morning. We want to welcome them. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you?
Good morning. This is Dorothy.
Yeah, I remember Dorothy. It's always good to hear from Dorothy because Dorothy is our resource consultant, and she comes on with great resources and supports the show just about every Saturday that she's available, and we really appreciate her for that. Thank you, Dorothy, for being on the show today. And
you're
we
welcome.
Have a few other callers. We just lost somebody, so call back in, please. Hi, how are you? This is Professor Applewhite. This is a 226 number. Hello, just say hello and we've got you on air, caller. Hello? Caller, just speak up and say good morning. All right, we'll come back to you in just a moment. Well, let's get started with our show because we've got a great show this morning. Very, very informative show about modeling behavior. And, Dorothy, I think you're going to really enjoy this and some of our listeners out there that are concerned about how do we learn, you know, and we want people to understand how to learn. And we find that through research, modeling, looking at somebody and how they model behavior becomes one of the most significant ways that people learn. That's not from Professor Applewhite. That is from research, and I just I reinforce that, and I believe in that research. So why don't I ask you to please read the description for our show this morning?
Okay. Are you a satisfactory model for those you teach?
Mm-hmm.
Professor Applewhite shares the importance of modeling as the first and most significant way we learn from early childhood through late adulthood. This show explores how we can become excellent models and change the behavior and attitudes of our children. Our co-host, Nazim Rashid, guests, teachers, and parents will share ways of how many forms of bullying can be traced back to the classroom and at-home environment. Join us by calling 1-646-727-3758 on Saturday mornings from 10 to 11 a.m. That's Arizona time.
Yes, good point, Arizona time. That's sometimes I forget to say that, Dorothy. It's, thank you very much for reinforcing that, because sometimes that becomes an issue for people. One of the things that I'd like to bring out before we go any further on the show is that there are many parents. I remember even, you know, when I look back to my grandmothers on both sides, and even before that, the way they were raised is that not only should children be seen and not heard, okay, but that also that children are not to participate in conversations about why they have to do something, that they're just supposed to do it. And what happens is that there's a conflict there, okay, especially if you have a child that is analytical, in other words, always looking for ways to understand why they have to do something and why the sky is blue. I'm sure we know a lot of children, teachers out there that are tuned into the show this morning are aware that there are a lot of students that continually ask questions all the time about different things that they're not even teaching necessarily, but they just want to know, okay? And we appreciate that that inquisitiveness, that yearning to learn about the world and their environment. But sometimes it gets on your nerves. I can admit that sometimes as my grandchildren have been growing up when they were smaller, they continually ask questions, one of them, all the time. And I want them to continue to do that. But it can get sometimes, a little bit on your nerves, right? Have you ever experienced that, Dorothy? Hello?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right.
I enjoy
That's honest. Okay. So what do you when your children or your grandchildren have a question, they don't ask you?
Oh, yes, they do, but I love it.
Yeah, right. You love it. There you go. And as long as they don't get too far out there until to the point of saying, okay, now, some things we just have to accept, you know, because there's always this why, you know, and we do love it. Those of us that love educators, people who love learning, are very, very involved in, I don't mind asking the questions, okay? But there are those of us that, get a little itchy after a while when that happens. And so if you do, we hope this show will help you to open up a little bit to why children do ask those questions and how not to squash that or put down that inquisitiveness that they have to question what's going on in their environment. We want them to. But there's something that's very unique about what those questions can mean. And I'll come back to you in just a moment and share with you. Let's get a few more people up on the switchboard here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. I'm looking at an 855 number.
Yeah, this is E.C. Applewhite, and
E. Applewhite, thank you very much for calling in. This is my dear father. I hope you enjoyed the show today, Dad. Okay.
Oh, I am enjoying it, honey. It's nice. I think I have my cousin from North Carolina listening in this morning.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. We have a lot of people that listen in to our show from all over the place, all over the United States and all over in different countries. And so we appreciate that. So stay online, and we certainly would love to hear your comments about how important modeling behavior is. So I'll come back to you, okay?
Very good.
Okay, we have another caller here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Student to Teacher Show welcomes you. This is White Apple Institute.
This is Maria.
Hello,
Maria.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
Always, always good to hear from you, Maria. Yes, I'm doing
Thank
good.
You.
Our loyal listeners, loyal participators, we never tire of you calling. We always encourage you to call. Thank you so much for being part of the show this morning. And I hear that you have some allergies, so we're going to hope that you stay with us as long as you can this morning, and wish you well. Hope that you get better soon. Okay.
Thank
you so much for joining us. We have another caller online. I think this is our co-host here. Good morning.
Good morning. Nazim Rashid here.
It is our co-host. And it's wonderful to have you this morning. Thank you for that great music from Renaissance. And we always play it at the beginning of the show. Our dear brother Nazim Rashid is a personal development consultant and consults for White Apple Institute as called on, and we certainly appreciate him being with us. We have one more caller right now on the switchboard that we'll get to, and then we'll get back to answering that question, and I think you can add on where you need to. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. Okay. Well, you're on air, caller, and we'll come back to you in just a moment. So what we were doing just now is talking about how people question, I mean, how children can question, you know, why is the sky blue? Well, why is it blue? Why, you know, and when you answer the question, then there's always another why. And we welcome that inquisitiveness, that questioning. And we're trying to encourage people, Nazim and other listeners out there, to take it a little easy on squashing those questions, you know, and not getting too irritated about how children continue to ask questions, how any student continues to ask questions, because sometimes teachers get a little irritated at it. I've seen that happen, and even have talked to me about how they feel when a student is constantly asking the same question, sometimes feeling that there's a personal attack going on of, why do you keep on asking these questions? Let me go on with my lesson, okay? But we can keep talking all we want to, okay? You know, teaching is one thing. Learning is another. So how do you know your students have learned? And we'll have an actual show on that, and a panel of teachers, hopefully, that will join us. But the only way we know that they're learning is when they're asking questions, and of course, we use tests to validate that, right? But this morning, I wanted to talk about how we model behavior that we tell someone to do, and how, you know, when they... decades before we knew a lot about learning and students and children and parents, and, you know, now we supposedly know a little bit more. We certainly hope so. But we have these things in our head about children are to be seen and not heard. And we also had this issue about do as I say, okay? Do as I say, not as you see me do, okay? You don't watch me and follow my behavior. You follow what I said. And if you don't, then there's consequences, disciplinary consequences. But you see, what has happened is that we found out, and a researcher did this, and I'll come back to him in a minute, Albert Bandura is his name, found out that there is a way that people begin to start modeling behavior that they see. So if you're a smoker, it doesn't always happen at you know, all the time, but many times it will happen. So I'd just like to know your comments on that. Anybody that would like to step up and say something? Anybody? Okay, well, I'm going to go on and talk a little bit more about this because maybe then we'll have more information about the importance of modeling as the first and most significant way that we learn is what we see in front of us. Whatever we see in front of us, whatever we see our parents doing, whatever we see our teachers doing, our teachers can be our pastors in a church, ministers. They can be those
that... Danita, it's real important to tell everybody to mute.
Go ahead.
Yeah, please tell people to mute their phones. They're not talking. You hear a lot of background noise there.
Okay. Please do that. As you heard our co-host asking, to please make sure that you mute your phone so that it doesn't feedback. We don't get the feedback going on. Sometimes on the phones, I think most of the time it's a star 6 will mute your phone. But if not, there should be a mute button on your phone, Dickhead. And in addition to that, if all else fails, cover your mouthpiece. So, again, what
have I been muted?
Okay. No, I can't tell which one it is. We're on air, and only thing I can do is give that message out generally to everybody. So just make sure you cover your mouthpiece so that we can go forward here. So let me talk a little bit about Bandura's Bandura's research, and maybe that'll open up some room for conversation here. Bandura did an experiment many, many years ago about based on a doll. He called it the Bobo doll. And what happened is that he watched, he put students, not students, but necessarily children, in front of a window that where they could see into an enclosed kind of classroom area. And he had an adult go in. And there was a Bobo doll there, which is a big, big doll that kind of sat on a sandbag, and you could punch this doll around. Okay, anybody remember that? This, you know, any kind of model like that, where these big, big dolls that you blow up, and you could actually punch them, kind of like a punching bag, like a boxer would use. But it was dressed up like a clown. And what would happen is that the children would watch the parent going in and beating the doll up, angry beating, and then watch another parent go in with kindness and treating the Bobo doll in a different way. They found that the children that watched the parent with the aggressive behavior, they would copy that behavior. They would go in and actually copy what that parent was doing. Or that adult was doing, because that adult became a model. Okay? And so that's what we have to watch out for, is in the classroom and in our home environment, is how we model behavior and know that by research that this is one of the most significant ways we learn from early childhood. And even out adulthood, and I'll talk about that later. Let's see what some of our listeners are saying here. Anybody with a comment on that, of how we learn, how we watch people, and that's how we learn? anybody ever watch somebody and learn something by just watching them?
Well, Denise, if I can just say something, I was trying to wait to hear other folks comment, but I'll just jump in.
Yes,
and
go
say
ahead.
Something that definitely came in. That's how we learn in the first place. We're products of our environment. That's how the baby learns. That's how, you know, after all, you know, we have, that's how we all learn. We come out of the womb, we learn from our environment. And so we mimic what we see because that's all we know. You
right.
see, so whatever we see in our environment, they're okay, and we just mimic it. So if fighting is an environment, we fight, we say it's okay because our environment around us is doing it, we do it, it's okay, we do it. And so that's what happens, you know. So whatever is around you, you're going to imitate one level or another as a as an infant. Now, as you grow up a little bit, you kind of learn how to discern. But even that is based on what you're conditioned and what you're taught, you know. So that is how that is. So that's why we always have to watch what comes into our senses, knowing that it's going to affect us in one way or another. So we have to have a sense of what we are going to accept as okay and not okay, and not swerve from our own ideals that we actually dictate for ourselves. And that's just how that is.
That's a very good point, what we dictate for ourselves. And so, you know, it goes back to the issue of, what is that golden rule that says, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And if we think about that when we're modeling behavior, that's a very, very important aspect to look at, is that how do we make sure that the child or the person that we're trying to teach is really learning something from us. We see them duplicating the behavior. And I remember once, and this wasn't too long ago, some of you may relate to that, this, I think it was on one of the shows like 60 Minutes or what's another one of those out there? 60 Minutes, there's another show I wanted to quote.
2020,
yes, thank you. That shows, you know, different things out there that are going on in the world. And I remember that on either one of those shows, there was a child that was smoking marijuana. He actually could pick up a joint. They said, pick up a joint, and the child would pick up a joint and imitate smoking. And you'll see a lot of children imitate smoking a lot. They used to have candy cigarettes, if you remember. Some of you could date yourselves back and remember the candy cigarettes that used to come in a package, and so that the child could imitate the adult. Go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody was going to say something. Was there somebody going to say something? Please don't stop. We welcome your comments. Okay.
I was trying to mute my phone. I don't seem to be able to.
That's okay, as long as you're covering up your mouthpiece. What do you think about the way you model behavior? You know, what your child looks at. I mean, you have a 13-year-old son.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm sure you're concerned about how he's learning different habits and whether or not they're good habits that he's learning or bad habits that he's learning. And bad habits is judged, you know, because I hate to be judgmental, but I guess I would have to say bad habits are those that we know are harmful to the person or harmful to others. How do you make sure of that? Do you encourage conversation?
I just observe my son's activity, and he's demonstrating to me that he really gets into his books, and it seems to me that, I don't know where he get it from, he seems to be able to train and understand his own his schoolwork without my interference. So I'm very proud of that. Sometimes I try to interfere, and he says, Dad, that's okay, I can get it, you know. There are a lot of kids that way. I'm not saying this is just because it's my son. There are a lot of smart kids out there. So we have to observe them and appreciate them and try to continue encouraging them. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And one that we want to reinforce through White Apple Institute is that we believe that everyone has, every single person, and we did a show not too long ago, Nazim, as you remember, on the different intelligences that we all have, and that every child is smart, and some are smart academically, carpentry, and all kinds of intelligences, right? Remember? Remember that show, Nazim?
Sure do.
Okay. We have some background noise, so you just want to make sure that you're not doing too much moving around there and that you cover that mouth. You can't put it on mute. But it's wonderful that we have we have the switchboard lighting up, and some of you are able to say things, and some of you are being very quiet right now and listening. We know that we have, and we're very proud to say that we have been viewed and profiled our show by over 6,000 people at this time without any promotion out there, just word of mouth. We receive emails constantly, and we also have a chat line, by the way, for those of you who are not, I'm sorry I didn't announce that earlier, but I will open up the chat session, and Nazim Rashid will respond to you as you write into us also, okay? So let's continue on with understanding what we mean when we say model behavior, too. Like I said, it picked up a joint, a blunt, or whatever it is that they called it on. I don't remember what it was called on the show. And it was a funny thing that this parent thought it was a funny thing and laughed. And that's another thing about reinforcing behavior that is not considered harmless, okay, is that we laugh and sometimes reinforce. We do it in adult classrooms even, okay, as if, you know, the behavior that we're seeing is okay, and we're embarrassed to even say anything sometimes. Okay, only thing that we can hope for is that people will begin to start looking at the behaviors. Pick out a model. If you're a student and you're trying to go to school and you're living in a household where no one really cares that much about education, pick out another model to look at and try to get to know that model. But if that's not possible, at least identify and begin to observe the behavior that you're seeing. And you'll find that you'll start duplicating some of their activities. You know, like carrying a briefcase or holding your books out where people see it, or opening a book when you're riding on a bus because you're seeing other people doing that. Little things like that can reinforce very, very good behavior, good study behavior, and learning behavior. Do you agree with me out there? Do you agree with me, listeners?
Absolutely. I think that's a very important thing to do, of course.
When we talk about, and I just want to move down because we're moving into 30 minutes remaining here on the show, and I want to make sure that we give enough time, a very, very important subject, which is the way children, we've got a big thing going on now about bullying in the school. And you might hear us from time to time integrate that in our discussion because it falls right into line here, even in being satisfactory models for those that we teach. Okay? And everyone, as you know, that's why we call it Student to Teacher Show from White Apple Teachers, that everyone is a student or teacher interchangeably within their lives. One day they're a teacher, one day they're a student. Okay? So we're always changing. We're always learning and teaching others. So that's why this is so important. And Nazim hopefully will give us some insight on from his book on how bullying fits into, can trace back to the classroom and the home environment by just the mere fact of seeing others bullying other people and pick up that behavior, especially if they see it being successful. You know, they if they're bullying somebody and they're getting what they want, whether it's lunch money or borrowing money continuously without paying it back, and you know, there's all kinds of behaviors you can come up with, and people see this and then they begin to model that same behavior. Am I right, Nazim?
Yeah, of course you're right on fire with it. Sure, yes you are. Mm-hmm.
So let's take a moment to explore something in your book that helps us understand, you know, when we talk about reconnected. Did I say that right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did. Yes, reconnected. How to be a mentor to your child self.
How to mentor your child self.
Yeah, how to be a mentor to your child self.
How to be a mentor to your child self. And for those of you interested in going on the early order list, please contact White Apple Institute, and we'll let you know how to connect on Nazim Rashid's website so that you can sign in to buy his book early. And there'll be signed copies, won't they? They're the ones that they'll be ordering first, right?
Yes, as long as they're part of the first 200. Then
right.
they will have a sign. They'll have an actually officially numbered copy.
Yes.
They have to go through the nrbookclub@cox.net, nrbookclub@cox.net, and
okay.
They'll get that information.
All right, wonderful. So what in your book can when people go and buy your book, can they look at to help them understand how important this modeling issue is, because that's what happens a lot of times with being reconnected to childhood. Sometimes it can be a negative experience trying to do that, because unless they have the right tools, and that's what you're giving people in the book, are the
right
tools.
Mm-hmm. That's right. This is why it's very important to understand, first of all, what do you want to have in your life? What do you want to have in there? Now, those who have accepted the mentality of bullying and controlling someone else, then they have some real issues. They really don't like themselves that well.
Yeah.
They don't like themselves that well. So what happens is that they want to do to others what they really want to do to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. So they are acting as a bad parent within them with themselves. So if it's Johnny, for instance, Johnny inside, they have the bad parent saying, bad Johnny, Johnny needs to be punished. So Johnny goes out and punishes some other little kid, you
mm-hmm.
see, and what they're saying subconsciously is, see, Johnny, you deserved it. There you go, you deserved it. You're a bad boy. And so they go out and do that because inside they're having conflicting issues with their own self-esteem based on the conditions in their environment. So that's what they have. So how do you turn that around? You have to ask yourself, what do you really want to have happen? And how do you really feel about yourself? If you really love yourself, you would never harm another human being intentionally, because if you love yourself, you also will love humanity and other human beings, because we're all connected. We're all the same couple, the same soul, same human spirit. So therefore, you would never hurt another human being intentionally, knowing that once you hurt another human being, you're actually hurting yourself. And because you love yourself, you would never do that intentionally.
And that goes for the, you know, when you said that earlier, I mean, you know, we look back on criminal behavior, because one of the ongoing questions that I get is, the psychology class is, you know, well, what is the difference between someone being mentally ill and hurting someone and someone not being mentally ill and doing the same behaviors. And we can see that there are people that go back in that early childhood stage that are adults, you know, and, you know, we find that there was something in their life that they saw or experienced, and they are duplicating that behavior again. And it could be from a mother or father or a teacher or someone that was taking care of them, you know,
right.
And they develop a behavior or an attitude, and that must be changed. And if you're interested in changing, any of our listeners out there, and even ourselves, I mean, we want you to know, Nazim and I, that we work on changing behavior too. I mean, there's no one out there, and we hope that other psychologists and personal development consultants don't ever push the idea that we are in some way perfect and that we have it all together and that we are counseling people who don't. We are counseling, when we counsel ourselves. It's a reinforcement for ourselves as well as teaching other people. You know, so we thank you for sharing that, that, you know, that can happen as a child and as an adult. I don't know, when we talk about in the classroom, how we can associate what a teacher does, okay? Well, I do know. I mean, I'm asking the listeners, you know, what do you think is the reason why children may feel uncomfortable about school because of the behavior being modeled in front of them by their teacher? Now, I know you have a lot to say about that, Nazim, and we hope our callers do also.
Yeah, always.
Now, what is a teacher doing that makes it uncomfortable for someone to continue in school or drop out of school? They get to that dropout stage, and it's something to do with whether or not that teacher is being a satisfactory model for those they are teaching.
Well, first of all, you know, right now we have a problem with inappropriate sexual interactions between the
students.
You know, now they have a lot of girls who feel uncomfortable when you have the male teacher doing some inappropriate things with them.
Yes.
And so forth. So how can they learn? And vice versa. And so you have a lot of problems there. You have that going on. You have teachers coming who are still smelling alcohol for the night before. They come into the classroom.
Right. Right.
You see, or the student goes by the student lounge, overhears the teachers talk about how they got high last night or how they had sex last night with someone, or how they're committing adultery, how they're bragging about their escapades,
mm-hmm.
and the students hear those things.
Right, right.
You see, you know, or they hear the principal complain about his job, how he can't stand his job, can't stand his student, and wish he was somewhere else.
Yes, yes. Teachers do that a lot, and I don't know what they're expecting. Is that a student's going to hear them complaining about their job and feel comfortable being there or comfortable asking questions or asking anything of the teacher? Very good, very good points that you're bringing out, Nazim,
mm-hmm.
and we really appreciate that. Most importantly, what I was thinking about was the anger sometimes that I have seen and heard in the classroom, because, and on top of teaching teachers, I also have to go out and do performance evaluations. And what I try to do is not make the teacher feel uncomfortable, but I do not necessarily set an appointment of what time I'm coming into the classroom. I let them know the day I'm coming in, but not the time. And I could come in at different times or watch through the doorway, anger being displayed at a student. Okay,
sure.
And when a teacher is angry with a student, especially those in the middle school years, because that's the beginning of that dropout period. Of what do I want to go through all of this for high school and stay in high school even, and deal with teachers coming down on me, you know, in front of everybody else too. And so that can lead right back to, there you go, bullying somebody else because I was made to feel bad, and so I'm going to make somebody else feel bad, you know, and I'm going to drop out too because, you know, evidently the teacher doesn't want me in there because she's not a satisfactory model.
So I have a question, Ms. Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the student supposed to do when they don't have a good model in front of them? What are they supposed to do?
What do we do
when
we have a good model in front of us? I think that in many ways, and I'll have Nazim also give a comment. It's a very good question. What do we do when we don't have a good model for teaching or a good model for parents? One of the things that I suggest, and I know Nazim is going to go back into his book because that's what basically his book is about, is that we have to learn ways to cope with our own self-esteem. And that could be, as I tell many students, your teacher is still going to get a paycheck whether you drop or not. Your employer, your supervisor at your job, is still going to get a paycheck even if you walk off the job. So you put yourself in a position when you walk away where you're not changing that behavior or your attitude about things. You're putting yourself in a position where now you can't pay your bills or you can't graduate. Okay, I have a student right now that is having challenges with graduation because he dropped out of the class where he didn't like the teacher. The teacher was very hard on him. Okay, and that class he absolutely needed to graduate this May. So now he can't graduate this May and because he needed that class, and so now he doesn't even want to go back to school. Now, who's hurting? He's hurting. So we have to find ways within ourselves to cope with looking at the teacher and saying, is this teacher going to have control over my life or am I going to have control over my life and my attitude and my behavior? And our hope is that student will find the tools and resources, and there are lots of tools and resources. One of them is reading material or seeing a counselor, you know, calling White Apple Institute and talking to somebody about, you know, their feelings about dropping out. Even teachers who are not seeing good modeled behavior by their administrators and principals, as Nazim had noted earlier. You know, sometimes their principals are not showing good behavior. So this issue of modeling goes on and on and on within our lives, Maria. It never ends. Okay?
Right.
So the only chance that we have is that we have to, and I'll let Nazim talk about a little bit more on this, is we have to create our own environment so that we don't become so affected by what another person does to us. And that goes back to being reconnected. Go ahead, Nazim.
Okay. All right, there we go. Yes, all right, so now in order to do that, you have to realize you have the skills to do that.
Yes.
So it takes a lot of learning to understand what you really have inside of you, because all the things that we're seeking, all of the models that we're trying to find in our lives, all the money and opportunities and experience we want to have already reside within us. So the answers and goals and the finish line that we're trying to cross, they're already inside of us already. You see,
yeah.
So we're just not aligned with those ideals inside. So we have to figure out how to do that. We need tools. And so first of all, you have to realize that do you have them, and realize and align yourself up with the good that you already have inside, and then you can do that. You can go back and do that. You know, so but before you can actually look at mentoring yourself or leading yourself, you have to be okay yourself first. You have to learn how to love yourself. You have to see yourself in the mirror and see God drew your image. Because after all, God is inside of all of us. So you have to actually see God working inside of you by looking in your own eyes and seeing that God presence there.
Yes.
Once you see that God presence there, you realize that there's nothing you cannot do, there's nothing you cannot accomplish, there's no finish line you cannot cross. You realize that, and then you get to work and making it happen. And that's what I have in my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, 14-chapter book. It's about 280 pages long. Of course, it takes a while to go through it, because after all, we have to realize that it's so important for us to learn what we need to learn in order to get where we need to go. So we need to take time to read, study, learn some basic skills, learn some basic counseling skills within us, communication skills, our validation skills there, self-esteem, self-image. Learn with and internalize real optimism, have some space, some good faith. Learn what spirituality is, universal spirituality, so you know how to connect to God. You got attributes of love and compassion. Learn how to do that. Learn how to identify emotions within yourself. Learn what those emotions are, where they come from, and how to use them effectively for your own life. And learn what a new life is, what a new life smells like, feels like, tastes like, so you can align yourself with that. And then learn how to go back and be that constant good friend to your own child self. Be the model you want to have.
You know, that is so important, and I and again, Maria, you know, and any other listeners out there with that same question about, you know, what do I do if I don't have a good model? I think those resources that Nazim spoke about, and I agree, the first resource is whether or not you believe that God is love and that you are part of the plan. Okay, part of the plan, not only to love God and as our creator, but to love ourselves, okay? And when you move from that into the next resource, because that resource, no one else can help you identify that resource but you, okay? And then you move from that and you see what else is in your life. What good things have you accomplished? And sometimes that's so hard. Students will, you know, I ask them to do a resume, okay? And this is hard for a lot of people because the first thing they say is, I haven't done anything, I haven't accomplished anything. And you'd be surprised at after going through every single thing they've done since kindergarten that we can build a resume based on being honored one time for being having good attendance. You know, we can talk about how someone has used money correctly, been a good budget person, you know, financial budget, being able to save money. We can talk about how someone has been a good community helper. And before you know it, they look at this resume or this portfolio of their life, and they say, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize that I had done so many things. Because there are a lot of good things that we do in our life that we never hear. Go ahead.
You're right. I'm sorry to interrupt. But that reminds me of my chapter on self-esteem, I have a section called self-appreciation in there.
Mm-hmm.
And in that section there, I'm actually asking you to actually make a list of all the good that you see already inside you. Make a list.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You see, and so we make a whole list. And so when you see a list, then add one thing to it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Good point.
And as you start doing that, you start feeling the energy of the positive that's there. You add more and more to that. And then what happens, then you can start telling the good story that's all about you instead of the bad one. See, what the problem we have, and the problem with bullying, is that a lot of us like to keep leading and perpetuating and promoting our burden life.
Yes.
Talking over and over again.
Right.
Over and over again. You see, and what happens when you do that, you get more burden that you want to keep leading. All right, so therefore, if you turn around and start talking about the good that you have, the good that's happened to you, and speak the good story.
Right.
And so therefore, then tell yourself, Don't tell the story anymore. Don't tell the bad story anymore. Don't tell it. Tell the good. And if you keep telling the good, you have more good to tell and to talk about. So that's very important. So make a list of all the good that you have and start enlarging that list. That's a good way to start that process.
And, you know, when we talk about being that satisfactory model for those you teach, I want to close. We have about 9 minutes remaining, but we do have a new caller on the line. I think he may have something to say about this. But
no, it's just me. It's just me, Professor White. This is Angelo.
Yes, yes. I'm coming to you in just a minute because here's what I want you to absorb somehow, is that being that satisfactory model for those we teach, the first person we teach is ourselves. Okay, we're talking about digging deep and looking at our own resources, but as Nazim and I related to just a moment ago, building that list, okay, because that's all a resume is anyway, is a list of our accomplishments, okay? And talking about those more than we talk about the other things. And we notice that people who are overcome addiction. They overcome addiction by not talking about the addiction in a negative way, but talking about it more in a positive way to others that they're trying to help, and modeling that behavior, even if they haven't accomplished everything they wanted to accomplish. Don't you agree, Angelo?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and that's something that I believe you have done with your life. We have about 8 minutes remaining.
What I wanted to touch base on was that, you see, I have two daughters and my niece and my nephew, you know, and when they're around me, they follow me and watch me very closely while I'm in the house.
Mm.
You know, I like to watch a lot of wrestling, a lot of boxing, a lot of, you know, UFC fighting and stuff like that, and my nephew likes to watch it too, but on the same respect, he turns around and beats his sister up, trying to imitate what he sees on TV.
Very good point. Yes,
and he's 3 years. He's 4 years old, and she's 3 years old. And he tries to wrestle with her like he sees on TV. He tries to box with her, and my sister told me, you know, you can't let him watch that because he's really getting very aggressive.
Yes.
With his younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, clean that up.
Thank you for bringing that out, because that fits right into what we've been talking about.
So I stopped letting him watch, because when he comes to my house, the first thing he says, put wrestling on it.
Right.
Let's see fighting. So what I did was I stopped letting him watch, and as a result of that, he stopped beating up his little sister.
Yeah.
And when he goes to daycare, he doesn't want to fight the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
His whole attitude and behavior has changed. And he asked me one day, he said, why do you smoke? He said, why do you smoke cigarettes? And I didn't know how to answer him.
Yes, yes.
So what I do now is I don't smoke cigarettes in front of them.
Right.
You know, kids when they're young, they're very impressionable, and they will ask you and imitate things that they see in the adults.
That's right.
I find that out because I have done it myself when I was a child, and that's how I led to my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
From being around people who did the things that they did, and I thought it was cool to do it, so therefore
right.
I did it too.
Yes. Right. And that, I mean, definitely when you're, see, it's very, very difficult for anyone to be born into an environment where there's drugs, or even drug paraphernalia, the things that feed into drugs, even if you're not smoking or doing the actual behavior of ingesting cocaine or crack or whatever, but you have the pipes around. You have all the things that a child can recognize, especially as they're growing older, and movies that you watch. That's very impressionable. And that's what I was talking about earlier with Albert Bandura's research, is that that's what he found, is that people watching other people doing things, especially children, who are very impressionable. Their minds are just like a sponge, okay, and everything is going in. We have to truly watch that, and we ask teachers to be aware of what they're modeling so that they can, so that we all can be satisfactory models first to ourselves and then to others that we teach or we learn from, okay? So thank you so much, all of you, for being part of the show this Saturday. It's been a great show, and I appreciate all the comments that have come in. Thank you so much, Nazim, for sharing from your book. And,
you're welcome.
Right, and I need to tell you all that what I'm writing on is rehabilitation of illness. And I can tell you that, and my book won't be ready probably until December of maybe even next year. I have to limit myself to time because I'm dealing with some health issues right now. But I'm going to say this to you. Sometimes we model behavior based on illness, okay? People seeing somebody ill constantly, sometimes they model that behavior, and you'll see it with children as generations. They go through this thing of watching people take a lot of pills all the time, and they think that that's an appropriate way of living. We have 3 minutes remaining. We want to give that to Dorothy to go over some of our sponsors. We thank you, Dorothy, for doing that.
Okay. Yes, we appreciate our supporters like Eric and Adele. They have a different business now, so I won't mention the old one, but we appreciate mm-hmm. them. Also, Wendy Duncan, her insurance agency. Mm-hmm. Also, Martha Bergen, making various donations, and she can mm-hmm. answer questions about AmeriCorps. Also, Jovette Brandes with mm-hmm. her certified biofeedback and wellness business.
Yes.
And Nazim Rashid with his book coming out.
That's right. And, you know, many times you forget one of the most important people in our show also, and that is you. Okay, not only as our resource consultant, but you have your own business that you operate, and you're always, advertising on the internet. But we want you to talk about what you do on our show also.
Oh, okay. Well, I like to share that anyone can get free assistance at the library. They're open. And I want to share that a good way to donate to White Apple Institute is to go to the White Apple Institute blastoff.com website if you shop on the internet. And when you join there, you'll save money for yourself, and you'll also help support White Apple Institute. We also have a page, whiteappleinstitute.org. You can become a member there or just make a donation there. It's very easy. If you have any questions, just feel free to give us a call. I'll mention the Blastoff again. White Apple Institute, blastoff.com.
Thank you.
I have some help there. Okay.
And Dorothy, that's a resource that you produce for us, and that's why you're such a great resource consultant. But you also have your own business.
Oh, the prepaid legal. Yes, anyone who would like to learn more about prepaid legal memberships, just give me a call or just contact White Apple Institute. They'll put you in touch with me.
Right.
Save a lot of money. I've already saved quite a bit of money just by using the services that are offered with a prepaid legal membership.
Yes, and that is the ability to have a lawyer, is that right?
Yeah.
Have a lawyer pay monthly for a lawyer to advise you. Is that right?
Right. You have the benefit of lawyers from all different industries, not just one.
Thank you. I want to give a special thanks to all of our listeners out there. and especially my father this morning for participating in this show.
Oh, thank you very much, my dear, beautiful, sweet, brilliant daughter. Okay.
Thank you. And we'll close our show now and wish you much love and peace. Thank you so much. We'll see you next Saturday. Professor Applewhite on Student Radio Show on the Internet. Thank you.
Thank you.